Today's digest for July 16th, 2026. 10 stories today covering AI coding agents, Microsoft's record patch day, ransomware economics, secure boot blind spots, and the business fight over who gets to sell you your AI. It's a heavy security day paired with a lot of movement in developer tooling, and a running theme underneath both. The tools that find our bugs and the tools that write our code are converging on the same problem. Here's the rundown. Simon Willison has been reading the source of Grok Build, xAI's terminal coding agent, which the company open-sourced on July 15th under an Apache license. The release lands days after a serious privacy backlash. Users discovered the tool was uploading entire working directories to xAI's cloud storage without meaningful consent. One user described running it in their home folder and watching it ship SSH keys, a password manager database, documents, and photos. xAI disabled the feature, switched data retention off by default on July 12th, and says the uploaded coding data will be deleted. What Willison found in the code is interesting on its own terms. Roughly 844,000 lines of Rust, only about 3% of it vendor dependencies. That puts it in the same weight class as OpenAI's Codex at about 950,000 lines. His takeaway is that terminal coding agents are significantly more complex than he had realized. Visual Studio Code 1.129 introduces an agent host, a separate process that runs agent harnesses like Copilot, Claude, and Codex, built on something Microsoft calls the Agent Host Protocol. The practical change is that an agent session no longer lives inside a single editor window. It runs in its own process, which means one session can be reached from multiple windows at once, and session state survives a window reload. Administrators turn it on with a chat.agenthost.enabled setting, and users pick a harness from a dropdown. There's also Git worktree isolation behind a single checkbox, so an agent's changes stay off the main codebase until someone reviews them. Sessions can list each other, read history, spawn subsessions for side tasks, and send messages between themselves, though that last one requires confirmation to keep the automation from running away with itself. Next up, Bloomberg reports that Microsoft is training its sales force to talk down OpenAI and Anthropic. At an internal meeting Tuesday, executives laid out a pitch positioning Microsoft's in-house models as more efficient and more cost-effective than the competition. Executive Vice President Jay Parikh framed it this way: "Everyone else is selling parts, we're selling the full end-to-end system." Copilot executive Jacob Andreu went further, presenting a direct comparison in which Anthropic's Claude, running inside Microsoft's Office applications, came out slower, less accurate, and lacking the proper security integrations. The context matters here. Microsoft leaned on OpenAI's models for years and has been quietly swapping in its own models in Word and Excel as a cost measure. This is a company that spent enormously on AI infrastructure, now working to convince investors that the spending converts into a product it actually owns. Also today, OpenAI released a $230 keyboard. The Codex Micro, built with the specialty keyboard maker Work Louder, is pitched as a command center for agentic work. It has illuminated agent keys that show status, customizable command keys for frequent Codex actions, a joystick for launching workflows, and a dial that adjusts how much time and computing power an agent spends on a given task. You can configure it from the ChatGPT desktop app. OpenAI calls it a limited-run collaboration, which is a fair signal that this is a novelty rather than a product line. The timing is the real story. OpenAI is being sued by Apple, which alleges its leadership ran a deliberate strategy to extract confidential information and then used it while developing hardware. OpenAI's unreleased screenless speaker is reportedly being designed by former Apple engineers. OpenAI denies wrongdoing. Microsoft patched a record 622 vulnerabilities this month, 416 of them in Windows and 164 in Office. Two were already being exploited in the wild, an Active Directory Federation Services flaw that lets an attacker escalate to administrator on a local machine, and a SharePoint server bug reachable over the network with no authentication at all. A Windows virtual switch flaw carried a severity score of 9.9 out of 10. The more interesting question is why the count keeps climbing. Windows Executive Vice President Pavan Davuluri says AI is speeding up vulnerability discovery and that Microsoft now runs what it calls a multi-model agentic scanning harness across the Windows codebase to surface bugs faster. In that framing, a record patch count isn't evidence the code got worse. It's evidence the scanners got better, and that the backlog was always sitting there. On the same day, a researcher who goes by Nightmare Eclipse dropped an unpatched Windows Zero Day called Legacy Hive. It's a local privilege escalation bug in the Windows User Profile service that allows loading other users' registry hives, including an administrator's. It still works after this month's updates, and Microsoft has not acknowledged it. This is the latest in a run of 0 days the same researcher has aimed at Microsoft products, and the timing, landing squarely on patch day, is clearly the point. One detail worth noting: unlike previous drops, this proof of concept was released in stripped-down form, apparently to make real-world exploitation harder. That's a small gesture toward restraint from someone whose entire method is public disclosure without coordination, and it doesn't change the position defenders are in, which is a known local escalation path with no patch available. Moving on to boot-level security, ESET researcher Martin Smoller found 11 old Microsoft-signed UEFI shim bootloaders that undo the very protection they exist to provide. The vulnerable versions are shim 0.9 and earlier, some going back to 0.7, and because they carry a valid Microsoft signature, firmware trusts them. An attacker able to place one on a machine can execute untrusted code during boot, before the operating system starts, which is early enough to install a bootkit that endpoint detection tools never see. Microsoft revoked all 11 in its June patch cycle after ESET disclosed in February. Two CVE identifiers track the issue. The uncomfortable part is the open question. Nobody knows how many other old signed shims are still in circulation, and the Microsoft UEFI certificate from 2011 expired on June 27th, which by itself does not change whether these old bootloaders still verify. Sophos surveyed 2,158 IT and security leaders whose organizations were hit by ransomware in the past year, and the economics have shifted. The typical ransom demand is now just under $700,000, down roughly two-thirds over 2 years. The median payment sits at $769,000, more than half of victims negotiated down from the opening ask. Though settlements still landed around 90% of it, the entry method is the headline finding. Email and phishing account for roughly half of all incidents, and close to 8 in 10 attacks involved credential theft or reuse. Software exploits fell to 18%, down from about a third the year before. Cleanup now averages $1.7 million, up about 10%. Two-thirds of victims with encrypted data restored from backup, which is genuinely better than last year. Nozomi Networks reported 9 memory corruption vulnerabilities in NTFS 3G. The user space driver most Linux systems use to read and write Windows formatted volumes. The issues include heap corruption during file system processing, a single byte overflow in handling decompressed data, out-of-bounds reads in symlink processing, and flaws in how access control list data gets built. All of them are reached by mounting a corrupt or maliciously crafted file system, which in practice means a USB stick or a disk image is the delivery mechanism. Version 2026.7.7 fixes all 9. And patches are available for 2 older release lines. This is the kind of disclosure that's easy to skip past because nobody markets it, but any machine that automatically mounts removable media is doing untrusted parsing in a privileged context. Finally, Meta will now notify parents when their teen discusses suicide or self-harm with Meta AI. The company built a dedicated system to detect those conversations and says every chat the classifier flags is manually reviewed before an alert goes out. Meta is explicit that it errs toward over-alerting, so parents may be notified even when nothing is actually wrong. It's live now for Instagram parental supervision users in the United States, United Kingdom, Australia, and Canada, with a global rollout planned by the end of 2026. Meta is also building the ability to contact emergency services when a conversation suggests genuine risk. The limited content setting now covers Meta AI conversations as well. All of this arrives under sustained pressure from regulators and parents over how chatbots respond to users in crisis. And that pressure is visibly reshaping how these products get designed. That's the digest for July 16, 2026. 10 stories, coding agents getting bigger and more closely scrutinized, a record patch day that says more about AI scanners than it does about Windows, and a reminder that the boot chain and the USB port are still where the quiet problems live. Back tomorrow.